This is On the Tee, brought to you by Canteen Vodka Soda. Ready to drink, ready to go. Now here's your host, Anita Marks, on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, good morning. Rough day yesterday. Anita Marks with you on the tee here on 98.7 ESPN. I don't believe anyone is heading to the golf course right now. Because of Hurricane, is it Henri? By the way, Ty's producing the show back in the studio. I'm back in my home studio after a really fun day yesterday out at Liberty National for the Northern Trust, and was out there broadcasting. Hopefully you tuned in from noon to three. And then once I got off, was really excited to hit the course and follow some of the players around and whatnot. Maybe I had one transfusion too many yesterday, so I'm kind of feeling it this morning, but nonetheless, Ty, you said you don't know what a transfusion is. You know why you don't know what a transfusion is? It's because you don't play golf.
Oh, is that so?
Yes. So transfusion is the first time I heard about a transfusion was on a golf course. And so typically what it is, it's vodka. A lot of people use Tito's. I like Belvedere myself. A lot of people who are gluten-free like Tito's, but I like Belvedere myself. And it's mixed with ginger ale and grapefruit. And I'm sorry, in grape juice.
Yeah, doesn't sound like that's up my alley.
It's ridiculously delicious. But here's the key. And so for folks out there who are listening, hear me out. You've got... If anything, ginger ale is the one soda, right, that when you pop the can, the bubbly, the fizz, doesn't last very long. You don't have a lot of time with it. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like Mountain Dew's the same way. I love Mountain Dew. But it's the same way. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like once you twist that cap or you pop that can, your fizz doesn't last very long. It doesn't last as long as Coke or Pepsi. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
I'm not a soda drinker, but sure.
Well, I'm not a soda drinker either. But in my experience, when I was a child, the key to transfusions is buy the little small cans of ginger ale. And for all the folks out there that work at golf courses, maybe, you know, you oversee the cart and the cart people, buy the little small cans of ginger ale because the transfusions are better with a fresh pop can of ginger ale as opposed to a bottle. You know, you get those big plastic bottles of Coke or ginger ale or whatever. And so what happens is you open it up and then the fizz goes. And so it's flat and transfusions aren't as good if you don't have the bubbly. So just a little word to the wise out there. Take it from somebody who loves transfusions. But nonetheless, back to this is a golf show. It is a golf drink. So nonetheless. So I had a great time out at the Northern Trust yesterday. But again, the big, and this is why I wanted to bring you on. See, I was pronouncing it Henry, but I was told it's called Henri. It's H-E-N-R-I. So you're supposed to pronounce it like a French name?
I've been saying Henry.
Yeah, we've all been saying Henry, but somebody last night told me it's Henri. So we don't have to be bougie on this show, right? We could just roll with Henry, right?
Yeah, let's just go with Henry.
So Hurricane Henry is expected to make landfall at some point today. I was considering getting out of Dodge. I think I still will. But more importantly for the Northern Trust, no golf this afternoon. No golf this morning, obviously. No golf this afternoon. They are shutting down the tournament for today. So the final fourth round will not be played today. They're hoping that they could get it back in action tomorrow on Monday. If that's not the case, because what are they expecting? They're expecting some pretty horrible weather. 2 to 4 feet surge, possibly. And 60-mile-per-hour winds. It's the latest that I heard at like 2 a.m. this morning. So we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, again, not sure. I'm sure a number of people here have never been out to Liberty, but it's right on the Hudson. I mean, it has the potential if this hurricane is pretty bad and it makes landfall or near to New York City and New Jersey at a time where it's high tide, things could be really bad. So they're going to assess the situation on Monday and see if the course is going to be playable on Monday. If not, then it sounds like they're going to try to finish the final round on Tuesday. Now, I know back in 2011, during Hurricane Irene, the Barclays was being played here and they only played 54. So, you know, and this is a conversation I had yesterday on the show. And Ty, I know that you're not all that up on golf, but this is a playoff. This is the postseason of the golf year. And so think of it as like, this is round one of the playoffs, right? And then next week in Baltimore Caves, the tournament Valley Caves in Baltimore, Maryland is round two. And then round three is in Atlanta. And that is the top 30 compete to crown the best golfer of the year. And that golfer gets $15 million. So this is a playoff. It's very different than just a regular season golf tournament where, you know, you can call a tournament in 54. No, you got to play all four rounds, because what happens is points, depending on where the players finish, then points then are added and then those points then get tallied up and the golfers, the 70 top golfers who have the most points then advance to Baltimore. So, you know, this isn't a regular season tournament where you can call it. The fourth round has to be played. So obviously if the second round starts on Thursday in Baltimore, and here's another thing, thank goodness that this tournament is the second leg is just a hop, skip, and a throw from here. I mean, many times I've jumped on the train and I'm in Baltimore in 2.5-3 hours. So thank goodness that leg two isn't somewhere extremely far from New Jersey, because that obviously would throw in another wrinkle to this whole mess. So I'm sure these golfers are hoping that they get the round in on Monday, not Tuesday, because then now you're going to have a really short turnaround time to head to Baltimore and tee it up on Thursday for the BMW, which is the leg two. So what are a lot of the players doing today? I was reading Tony Finau is going to go try to play at a course that's out of the way in regard to the hurricane and what potentially golf courses that can stay open and he can get around in. I think some other guys, a lot of the guys stay in Fideye. I think a lot of them are over at the Conrad, and it's just easy because you have the ferry from Brookfield Place straight over to Liberty National. So I think a lot of guys, and I think it's what a lot of us are going to do today, right? A lot of us are just going to like hang tight. Weather's going to be bad. Let's see what's on Netflix. Let's rent a movie. Let's order in. I think a number of guys are going to do that. But I was reading Tony Finau, who, by the way, is tied for fourth, 14 on the leaderboard, two back from Cameron Smith, who had an unbelievable shot, a course record yesterday, a 60, ridiculous, who wants to stay sharp and wants to stay dialed in, is going to look for another course to go play today. So pretty interesting. But, you know, obviously a lot of moving parts here. I'm sure Northern Trust and those that run it staying on top of the storm. And I'm sure that the Northern Trust, as well as the players, would like to get the final round in on Monday. But there's a possibility that it will be played on Tuesday. I do know this. When they do tee it back up, tee times will start at 7:30 a.m., and they're going to be playing in threesomes as opposed to the twosomes so that they can get the round over as quickly as possible. So that's what I know. That is the latest. 800-919-3776. We get back. John Mascari, head pro at Alpine Country Club, is going to join me. We'll talk about the leaderboard. We'll talk about, you know, why is it? And I reached out. I text a few of the caddies that typically work over at Liberty because I wanted to get their intake, their information, their assessment. I'm waiting to hear back from them. I haven't heard back from them yet, but like, you know, here's the thing. Van Ruin shot a 62. Lowry shot a 62. Connor shot a 62. The day before on Friday, Spieth and Shoffley shot a 62. And then, like I said, Cam Smith shot a 60, broke the course record yesterday. right when we were getting off air. So unfortunately, I was hoping I'd be able to run to 18 and see him finish. I could not, but nonetheless, why is it? And oh, by the way, I left off. Brooks Koepka shot a 64, but he had four putts that just like lipped out within a foot. That's not typical of Brooksy. So, I mean, Brooks Koepka should have, could have, would have shot a 60 on Friday as well. Why is this course playing so easy for these guys?
On the Tee with Anita Marks. Brought to you by Canteen Vodka Soda. Ready to drink. Ready to go on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, let's take a look at the leaderboard, what's going on. And also, I do want to share some odds with you as we work on getting John on. Hold on one second. All right, so John Rahm is tied with Cam Smith at 16 under. John Rahm did not have a great day yesterday. Listen, he shot a 67. What do you mean, Anita, not a great day? I was on 16, the par 4 16, where he chipped over the green and it went into the water. And we were all standing there and the entire gallery went because he's the best golfer in the world. He's the number one golfer in the world. Like, what's going on? John Rahm going into the water. Like, it was pretty shocking. He didn't get his wedge underneath the ball enough, topped it, and it went right over the green and into the water. So now you've got Cam and John Rahm tied up at 16 under. Let's bring in, we do have John Mascari joining us here again, head pro at Alpine Country Club. John, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Sorry for the delay. I had to canoe my way in from the car.
I have not been out yet, but I woke up pretty early this morning and saw some of the video, especially in Brooklyn, folks in Brooklyn. Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness, God. They had apparently in the 1 hour span from 11 p.m. to midnight, the most rain ever in the history of New York City fell in Brooklyn. Did you see that? Wow. Did you read that? Yeah.
Oh, so we were at that concert in Central Park last night, and the weather was looking bad. It wasn't raining, but in the middle of the concert, they just pretty much told everyone to go seek shelter because there was a storm coming in. And we were on the west side. We had to make our way back to the east side to a friend's place. And the rain that came down between 9 o'clock and let's say 11 o'clock was unbelievably torrential, like Florida rain, Anita. Like, you know, Florida rain. Like, it just comes down heavy and hard. It was amazing. And I was drenched.
What? So you were you at the concert when they interrupted Barry Manilow in mid-song?
Yes, of all people to interrupt in the middle of Mandy. You came and you took me for granted, you know, like, but please leave the park. And
they couldn't wait. Here's the thing. Like, a song is what, 5-6 minutes? Like, you couldn't
wait. And he
wasn't
even singing the whole song. Like, he was just kind of doing a medley. Like, he started out with Copacabana, then he, you know, he got into Mandy and his mic cut out. So he's still up there singing and everyone's like, oh man, Barry's mic cut out. But then they made the announcement of, you know, biblical rain on its way.
So true story. At the age of 7, I was on a cruise with my mom, and I performed in the cruise talent show singing Copacabana.
Had that go over?
It was great. I came in second. 7 year old,
all right,
singing Copacabana. Anyway, back to this tournament, and I'm glad you're safe.
Yes.
I'm glad you're safe, and you have a canoe. That's a positive. All right, first things first. Let's talk about how dudes are just eating this course up alive, right? You had 1, 2, 3, 4. You had 5 guys who now have tied the course record in the last 2 days. You've got Brooks Koepka, who, by the way, I don't know what was going on with him putting on Friday. He shot a 64. He had 4 putts that lipped out within a foot. That's not like Brooksy. If he would have sunk those, he would have shot a 60. Cam Smith shot a 60 yesterday. What is it? What are you seeing about this course that these guys are eating it up alive, John?
Well, typically, this is a pretty intimidating golf course. I mean, we've played there. You've got all these moguls and mounds off the tee. The fairways are narrow. The fairway bunkers are challenging. They're almost a penalty shot. And the greens have a lot of slope to them. And you throw in the views of New York City, it's an intimidating golf course. when it's not soft. So when the golf course is firm, it has teeth. Right now, it's soft and mushy, and players can take dead aim at pins. All they need to know is the yardage. They dial themselves in, and they're able to hit the spots on the greens that's going to give them uphill putts, putts with not a lot of break, and they're taking full advantage of the conditions.
It was really, really unbelievable to watch yesterday. The caliber of golf that's being played out there is just really, really ridiculous. So again, Cam Smith and John Rahm, 16 under. I'm sure you were watching on TV, John. I was actually, or maybe not, maybe you were on your way to the concert, but I was me and you know, our entire group. Kate was out there, Christina, Jen, Wendy, all of us were out there. And we were, Steve and Jackie Torso was out there yesterday. We had a great group out there yesterday. So we're all sitting on 16 and we were waiting for that final, you know, John Rahm to come through with Finau, and he tries to drive the green. It ends up on the left side of the green, just off the false front. And then he chips up and he tops it. It goes, you and I have played Liberty before. It goes over the green and into the water, and the entire gallery goes like, you know, but here's the thing. Like, if Keith Mitchell did it, we wouldn't have had that reaction. Do you know what I mean? It was just like, it was like Rahm, you know, you don't expect Rahm to do that. And then, you know, he's a fiery Spaniard. So I'm waiting and I'm telling everybody, wait, let's see if he breaks his club, you know, because but you've seen it before, you know how fiery he is, but he was able to like contain his emotions. And then he tried to drop two times and it kept on rolling back behind the red line, out of bounds line. And it was interesting. He took his driver, got the one club, put the two markers down, and then was able to place his ball on the green. But he was lucky that he got away with just a bogey. But nonetheless, with all that being said, you know, what are your thoughts looking at this leaderboard? There's a lot of great names up there. John, Rahm, JT, Finau, Hovland, Koepka, Schauffele, a lot of guys in contention, close to being able to win this. Who do you like coming in?
Yeah, this is certainly big boy golf. And what I love mm-hmm. most about John Rahm is we all know that he was cruising for the first 36 holes. I mean, blemish free scorecards. And then, you know, he makes that double bogey on 13, which is probably the easiest hole out there, the par 5. And then, as you said, you know, he talks about the drivable par 4, 16, and he makes that bogey. I love that he just showed a lot of patience. He didn't come up, you know, he kind of kept both hands on the wheel. I can't see him making those mistakes again, especially on those two holes. And with the softer conditions, even into Monday, which we're calling for more rain, obviously I'm looking outside the window in the golf shop now and it's raining pretty good. He hits it so high with those soft greens, it's going to be like throwing darts for him. But what I was really impressed with on yesterday was two people. Obviously Cameron Smith just putting the lights out, 11 birdies. He had a chance for 59 on number 18, but couldn't make it happen. And you know, he had that dubious distinction of 18 putts in 18 holes a few weeks ago in Memphis. So obviously he has the putter figured out. But what I loved about Cameron was he just felt very comfortable on the golf course. He had comfortable yardages coming in. What I think wasn't said as much on the broadcast was that how well he was driving the ball. You know, to be hitting all these wedges into greens, you've got to be driving it well. You can't be driving it into the rough, into the bunkers. But looking into the weekend and looking at the leaderboard, you know, my heart wants to say Tony Finau. I think he needs to putt a little better, be a little more aggressive with his putts. A lot of his putts were on the low side of the hole. And he could really silence people with a win. And this is a big win. This isn't like, you know, the 3M or something like the Puerto Rican Open. This is a big-time win. And I think if he could putt better, he's such a great person. He's in such a good headspace. If he can putt better, I think he'll be certainly a force to be reckoned with on Monday. And, boy, man, JT, if he doesn't make that double bogey on 14, he's right in the mix as well. He's tied for the lead, I believe. So should be a great round on Monday or maybe Tuesday. Who knows what's going to happen with that. And there's a lot of big names at the top of the leaderboard, but also, you know, the other fight is on the other end, getting into that top 70. It's fun to watch those guys a little more down the leaderboard and see how they make out.
Again, John Mascari, head pro at Alpine Country Club, joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. I had Corey Connors on the show yesterday. We were supposed to have Abe answer, but he triple bogeyed 18 and then told the media, no, I don't want to talk to anybody right now. I don't blame him. But it was great to have Corey Connors on, who shot a 62, tied the course record as well, and he was pretty awesome. But before I let you go, let's talk about the game plan. By the way, I asked Ty this. I was told yesterday it's called Hurricane Henri because it's French, but we're all calling it Henry. Are you calling it Henri or are you calling it Henry?
Definitely calling it Henri, yeah. I mean.
Oh, you're calling it Henri?
Yeah, I mean, like,
you're
I have,
bougie.
Like, a kind
you're,
of a hockey
you're
background.
You're so bougie.
So.
That's why.
I have my pinky out when I say it, though. It's
like. expecting 2 to 4 feet surges, 60-mile-per-hour winds. That, again, that's the worst-case scenario, okay? It's the worst-case scenario. There's a chance that this golf course might not be playable on Monday because we see where it's located. That would mean that this course, the final round would possibly be played on Tuesday. But then, you know, that's a quick turnaround to go to Baltimore, Maryland to play Caves on Thursday. You know, golfers right now, what do you think the mentality is right now? How, you know, for a few questions before I let you go. Number one, what do you do on your day off? I heard that Tony Finau took a drive and went somewhere where these conditions aren't going to affect the golf course, and he's playing somewhere today. Other guys are like hanging out in their hotel and watching Netflix. That's number one. Number two, how, you know, if this is a quick turnaround, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, and then you got to turn around, get down to Baltimore, Maryland, and play on Thursday, how difficult is that, John?
Yeah, well, let's tackle the first part about, you know, what players are doing today. And I think it depends on the person. It also depends where you are on the leaderboard and how you feel about your game. Some guys could take this as just a day of rest and just relax and maybe do some stuff that they would not have been able to do while in the New York City area, taking some sights if the weather cooperates or go to some great restaurants. Other guys are going to want to get indoors and hit balls and grind. You said Tony's going to try to find somewhere to play golf. I don't know where he's going to go. It seems like the entire East Coast is covered with big green blobs on the radar, but I'm sure he'll find a place. But as far as the tour, the golf course has to be playable, obviously, and the weather's still shaky for Monday. Listen, they need about 7 hours to get a final round in. So that's saying a split tee, so going off on 1 and 10, maybe going out in threesomes. Here's the thing. We don't know who the field of 70 is to go to Maryland, right? There's a lot of FedEx points at stake, and the good thing is Maryland is really close by. It's not very far. These guys are going to jump on a jet and get down there. It'd be different if we were going to Chicago or maybe somewhere in the Midwest where it's a little bit longer flight. But Caves Valley is pretty close. They can get down there relatively quickly. And I don't think that the tour wants to make it 54 holes just because of what's at stake, the playoffs. They want to get this in, and I think they will, whether it's Monday, whether it's Tuesday. It will be a 72-hole event, and it should be interesting to see. I mean, listen, someone can go out and shoot a number if the weather's okay early and post a 61 or a 62 and see what happens. But golfers, they're creatures of habit. It's an outdoor game. They're used to stuff like this. They're professionals. They know how to deal with adversity and be adaptable. So I'm not too concerned about how the weather's going to affect people.
John, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Hope your golf course, Alpine Country Club, doesn't get hit too bad, my friend. Thank you.
All right, Anita. Take care, everybody. Thanks.
You got it. Actually, the rain might help those greens because they run at 14s, which is really brutal.
On the Tee with Anita Marks. Brought to you by Canteen Vodka Soda. Ready to drink. Ready to go on 98.7 ESPN.
This 98.7 ESPN leaderboard update brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. And John Rahm right now tied with Cameron Smith. And John Mascari made an excellent point. Listen, there are points to be added here to the FedEx Cup standings. And so even if, let's say, hypothetically, you know, again, I don't mean to be a negative Nelly. I want to be as positive as possible. In fact, last I checked, this storm has headed a little bit more west, so it looks like, unfortunately, Boston is going to get the brunt of it. But nonetheless, hopefully, this tournament, again, can be back in action on Monday. But even if they cannot get a final round in, like, there has to be a playoff with Cam Smith and John Rahm because they're both tied up at 16 under. By the way, if you want to put some coin on this, if it, by chance there is a fourth round, John Rahm plus 135, Cam Smith 3-1. You've got Justin Thomas, who is two shots back at 14 under. You can get him at 8-1. Tony Finau, I love Tony Finau. He's just such a good guy. 14 under, he's two shots back as well. You can get him at 12-1. I wouldn't mind putting some coin on that. And he's a really good dude to cheer for. Brooks Koepka, he's 11 under. He's five shots back. It's pretty far back. But like I said, on Friday, he shot a 64, but four lipped out putts within a foot. Could have been a 60. Brooks Koepka, 50-1. You never know. Stranger things have happened. Again, that's the leaderboard update brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Shop with the pros at your New York or New Jersey area PGA Tour Superstores, the home for golf pros as well as beginners. So I just want to touch on, we're going to have Christina Thompson, CEO extraordinaire of Golf for Her, come on board and talk about the LPGA. They've got their own major happening right now, the Scottish Open. So we'll get an update there. But, you know, John Rahm came out this week and criticized and said that he doesn't like this format for the Northern Trust. And I understand why. Listen, he's the number one golfer in the world. Whenever he tees up, it's a level of consistency that, you know, we don't see with other guys. And so he feels that, you know, he's the number one golfer during the regular season. He plays his butt off. Whenever he tees up, he's always in contention. And then now when it gets to the playoff format and the number of points that you get in the first and second and third leg, that the players can very well surpass him in essence. And too many points. He doesn't like the point system in the way that it's instituted in the postseason. And I get it, because what happens in the postseason is that it favors players who they might not have as much of the best consistency in performing during the regular season. But when it gets to these three legs of the schedule, they could surpass him as the best golfer. So I don't have a problem with the format, but if I walked in his shoes, I'm sure I would be just as frustrated as he is. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Matt in Queens. Matt, welcome in. Matt, you there?
Hello, Anita.
Hi, good morning. Hello. Good morning, good morning. Hi, we good got morning. You.
Cool. Could I do a little Ryder Cup real quick?
Absolutely.
Because I got a format change for the Ryder Cup. You know, I love the Ryder Cup. I think it's the greatest event in golf, personally, so I look forward to it. Anyway, the first thing to do with the Ryder Cup is extend it from 3 days to 4 days, okay? Because 3 days of Ryder Cup is not enough. So you play the first 3 days exactly as the Ryder Cup is played now, okay? On the fourth day, you have what's called a captain's draw. You know, the singles on the third day, the way it's played now, it's a blind draw. The captains just, you know, they make their team, and then they hand in the paperwork, and that's it, okay? With the captain's draw on the fourth day, what's going to happen is, let's say the captain of the USA team is going to put up a player, okay? And then right there, live on TV, the European captain is going to put up his European player. And then they go back and forth. So on live TV, the captains are going to be, you know, matching up players against each other one by one instead of just handing in a blind draw.
Could make it. And Matt, listen, thanks for the phone call. Thanks for listening to On the Tee. Appreciate it. And I love the suggestion. Definitely the drama, the theatrics behind it. I just don't think that's going to happen. And you bring up the Ryder Cup. It's important folks understand. So the Ryder Cup, Team USA, you know, you got Team USA against, you know, the European players, and you've got a lot of players. Not only are they, and I had Corey Connors on yesterday and I asked him about this, you know, the pressure for a number of these guys that not only are they trying to accumulate points and make it to Baltimore, and then after Baltimore, those 70 then dwindle down to 30 and make it to Atlanta, but also trying to impress Steve Stricker, who's the captain of the Ryder Cup. Now, there's six guys that are automatically going to represent the United States. Dustin Johnson, DeChambeau, Morikawa, hopefully. Now, Morikawa's dealing with some back issue. Brooks Koepka, Justin Thomas, and Schauffele. Some of the other guys that had to impress Steve Stricker, and these were the guys that I felt Steve needed to, I'd like to see him pick, and that's Harris English, Tony Finau, Jordan Spieth, Daniel Berger, Scottie Scheffler, and Sam Burns. Especially Finau, the way that he's performing, I think that's a no-brainer. Some of the guys that did not make the cut, Morikawa did not make the cut, but again, he's dealing with a back issue. That's got to be a really big concern. Now the Ryder Cup doesn't take place until the end of September. Phil, you know, I know that's a big topic of discussion. Should Phil Mickelson be selected? Should he be part of the Ryder Cup? He didn't make the cut. He has not played well as of late. I say no, with all due respect. DJ did not make the cut. Some other guys, Vegas, who Jonathan Vegas has been playing really well. I put some money down that he'd finish in the top five, top 10, top 20. Obviously, I lost there because he missed the cut. And Adam Scott missed the cut, which was really surprising to me. Just a few guys that were a little surprising that didn't make the cut into this weekend. But here are my six. Harris English, Tony Finau, Jordan Spieth, Daniel Berger, Scottie Scheffler, and Sam Burns. So we'll see what happens. Some tough decisions for Steve Stricker, absolutely, when it comes to the Ryder Cup.
On the Tee with Anita Marks. Brought to you by Canteen Vodka Soda. Ready to drink, ready to go. On 98.7 ESPN.
Justin Thomas, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 birdies yesterday. He talked about that double on 14. So he shot a 67. He is 14 under, so he's 2 shots back when they head into the final 4th round, whenever that might be. Christina Thompson from Golf for Her reps a lot of the women on tour with her unbelievable clothing line. Christina, hi, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
How are you feeling this morning? You and I were at the Northern Trust yesterday. We consumed many transfusions, which, by the way, Ty, who you know, I know you love Ty. He's producing the show. He had no idea what a transfusion was until this morning.
Come on, Ty. Get with the game. Yeah, it was a great day yesterday. I'm glad the weather held up for all of us. We got to see some really good golf.
Didn't we? It was unbelievable. And I was saying, like, we were both on 16 when John Rahm went into the water, and I was sharing with John Mascari, you know, the entire gallery went like, because
yeah,
it was John Rahm who did it. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, you know, Varner or Keith Mitchell who did it, right? It was like, it was Rahm. So the entire yeah, gallery like nearly fell out. But regardless, wow. You know, your thought on the day yesterday and your day out at the Northern Trust.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great day. I mean, I actually saw John Rahm go into the water on 13 as well. So it was a tough one for Rahm, but I don't know. He pulled it together and was able to keep it together to stay on top of the board. I mean, honestly, you know, I thought we had a great show with Spieth holing out and on with a Friday and tying the course record at Liberty with a 62. And then getting to the course Saturday, we had Corey Connors catching fire with another 62. And then here comes Cam Smith going 11 under. So it was like boom, 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 like all this great golf being played. I mean, it was really, I think the highlight of my day was watching Cam Smith and following him, you know, trying to get that magical 59. So there was a lot of cool things going on. But yeah, watching John Rahm, you know, go into the water on 13 and 16 was like, oh, not now, not on the back nine. So yeah, but I hope this day off, you know, gives him some time to like chill out, maybe Finau, if he's going to look at a course to go play, he can go work on his putting, because I think if he can get his putting together, he will have a good shot at taking this finally. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of spectators out there. Just bummed that we can't be there today. But
I know. Tell me
Monday.
About it. So again, waiting to hear. Hopefully the storm won't be as bad as some are expecting, and they'll be able to get the 4th round in on Monday, if not possibly Tuesday. And then again, they have to turn it around really quick and get their butts down to Baltimore, Maryland, Charm City, to start the BMW yeah, on Thursday. Before we let you go, let's talk about the women. They have their own major happening right now, the Scottish Open. What's the latest?
Yeah, so the AIG Women's Open, it's at Carnoustie in Scotland. The last time they played the championship was back in 2011. We've got 39 players who are within 7 shots of the leader.
Oh, wow.
Anna Nordqvist and Nana Madsen, yep, they share a 54 lead at Carnoustie at 9-under. They're teeing off pretty soon. I've been watching this morning since about 7 o'clock. Nordqvist, she carded championship best bogey-free 7-under, 65 on Saturday to put her in prime position for a third major title. She powered into the lead with a, 65. She really had a fantastic round. But, we've got Lizette Salas and Lexi Thompson who are in striking distance. Lizette Salas, she's just 1 stroke back at 8-under. She's not only looking for her first title since 2014, but her first major title, but she's also fighting for a spot on the U.S. Solheim Cup team, which she hopes to be her 5th appearance in the event. And Lexi, like I said, she's 7-under. She's got local caddy Paul Drummond on her bag, who's giving her a little bit local knowledge. And listen, it's always helpful at Carnoustie. But I think my favorite storyline right now this week in Scotland is Louise Duncan. She's a 21-year-old local amateur who's only 2 strokes back in her major debut. She's 2 strokes off the lead after like a rock solid 4-under 68 at Carnoustie, which is magical. And after going birdie, birdie, eagle on the 12th, 13th, and 14th, she went ahead and drained a 12-foot birdie on 18 in front of a packed grandstand. So, this could be a fairy tale home win at Carnoustie for Louise Duncan. But, just prior to this event, the title sponsor AIG announced that the prize fund for this championship increased $1.3 million to $5.8 million, with the winner earning $870,000, which is the largest prize fund win for the women's major. So this is a really great sign that, sponsors are really putting some money into the women's game. But in addition to a big payday today, the automatic qualifiers for the U.S. Solheim Cup team are going to be finalized at the end of the day today, with the U.S. captain's picks being revealed on Monday. The Solheim Cup, as you know, I've been talking about this all season, is September 4th to the 6th at Inverness Club out in Toledo, Ohio, where right now we have 7 players that in the standings who already have their spots. But we have 2 more spots for the top 2 Rolex-ranked players who haven't qualified already. And then the final 3 spots are going to be the U.S. Captain Patty Hearst. She's going to pick those on Monday. So there's a lot of hopefuls right now in the field out in Scotland. Mina Harrigay, Yulemi No, and Lizette Salas, who are really making a strong case for those last 3 spots. So lot on the line today. Tune in. This is going to be a great tournament. And it's a lot of good golf out there. So if you can't watch the Northern Trust.
Can't watch the men. Watch the ladies.
Watch the ladies.
Watch the ladies. Christina, again, so great having you out there yesterday. Be safe in this storm for sure. And by the way, happy birthday. Your birthday is this week. Happy birthday, my friend.
Yes. Thank you so much.
You got it. Take care. All right. You got it. This concludes On the Tee. And again, Christina, the LPGA update brought to you by Canteen Vodka Soda. Ready to drink, ready to go. And on the course or in your own backyard, learn more at drinkcanteen.com. Must be 21 years or older. Always enjoy responsibly. And one last time, let's give you a 98.7 ESPN leaderboard update brought to you by Total Orthopedic Spine and Sports Medicine, Long Island's premier orthopedic practice. Whether you have a sports injury, an age-related ailment, or something far more complex, their award-winning team of experts are there to get you back to you for sure. So again, as we wait and see what happens, we'll keep you posted, all of us here at 98.7 ESPN, how quickly can these guys get back on the course and complete their 4th round, the final round. When they do, Cam Smith at the top leaderboard, tied with Jon Rahm, 16 under. Van Ruin right behind them at 15. And then Tony Finau and Justin Thomas at 14. Hovland, Lowry at 13. You've got Corey Connors at 12. Brooks Koepka, Schauffele, and Tringali, as well as Sam Burns and Keith Mitchell at 11. To me, that's tied for 11th. So 11 under and up to 16, to me, that's your realm in regard to who potentially could win this, especially since we had John Mascari on earlier, and he said this course, because of the weather conditions, these guys are just, they'll be able to shoot darts. So I'm expecting whenever they do tee up again, we'll see some more low scores, and that will be fun.
On the Tee with Anita Marks, brought to you by Canteen Vodka Soda, ready to drink, Ready to go on 98.7 ESPN.